Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we talk about the big political issues in the nation. For this week's episode, we're joined by Nomvula Mokonyane, who is the first Deputy Secretary General of the African National Congress. A lot of people just say ANC these days.
Yes.
Terrible things are happening in South Africa. The leadership is doing some terrible things.
We will not be bullied.
Let's go mirrors to U.S. We're not just backers.
The president did want them to say, if you're going to fire, we'll take it as a declaration of war.
I can't be threatened by Zuma. I defeated Zuma.
You're dealing with Jacob Zuma. Every stage is a theater for him.
We're not sending help to criminals. We're going to smoke them out. They will come out.
There has not been agreement in terms of parties in the executive.
The executive must come here.
The people of Palestine, they're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms we so love.
Welcome to the Politics Weekly.
Thank you very much. First time I hear of this, and I'm really humbled to come here on behalf of the African National Congress.
Yes, we appreciate your time. You know, a lot of people have known you as Nomvula Mokonyane, ANC, Nomvula Mokonyane, Minister of Water Affairs, etc. But before you became Nomvula Mokonyane, the political activist or the political leader, what did you do before? How did you get into politics?
I didn't get into politics. I found myself being a part of the anti-apartheid movement because of the social conditions I found myself being brought up under. The biggest influencer was my church, the Roman Catholic Church, because
the Church of the Pope.
The Church of the Pope, yes.
Because it was very active at some
extremely
point, the Catholic
active.
Bishops' Conference.
And yes, the Catholic nuns, simple nuns who were our teachers, exposed us on that when we pray for peace, doing our rosary. We'll pray for the martyrs of Uganda. We'll be exposed to the sufferings and humiliation of the people of Lorenzo Marx then.
And which was Mozambique
today.
Yeah.
And it was Lorenzo Marx. Mm-hmm. So our school, St. Peter's, had a twinning relationship with St. Peter's in Lorenzo Marx.
Which is Maputo now.
Maputo now, yes. And we had a good relationship. We're exchanging, and then our teachers, mostly nuns, will tell the story of why we must relate and what is happening in that country. And it became too easy for me to really feel that a system that is not protective of the most vulnerable is an evil system. Then came also my own social upbringing. Like I'm saying, I come from a very staunch Catholic family, from a family that also was not just limited to our biological family, my mom and dad and siblings, a very inclusive family that included Aboba Mncane coming from KwaZulu Natal. That time I was Nomvula Mkize. So I'm born
Mkize.
Yes. So you had Aboba Mncane who lived at in hostels in Kagiso and anywhere in the reef, who would also relate and spend time at home. When their wives are here, they would move from the hostel because ubaba mncane ukhona noma mncane bakhona nolale dining room or nehla kuleso studio coach that time. So those kind of experiences of the migrant labor system and single sex hostels. Then my dad passed on. My mom had to become a single parent. And being a single parent, having to make choices every month end. Either I pay rent to Gamaspala or I buy a bag of 12.5 kg so that my children can eat. And this month I buy a pair of shoes for the other one. And next month I will buy for the other one. And the house being closed because she couldn't afford to pay rent and you have to sneak in through the window and be able to open. So, and it was a street of 10 houses. And at that time, I think 6 of the 10 houses were all cared for by single women mm-hmm. who were widows. And there was a lot of commonality in our lives. And every child in that neighborhood belonged to yeah. every house.
Mm-hmm.
The solidarity I also learned from the Catholic nuns in Germany then, who adopted us having never seen us, but they mm-hmm. were the ones who'd send a box of winter clothes. When it is winter, they will send a box of clothes for summer, and they will write a letter to Grace Mkize, my mother, mm-hmm. and they will be will all be made to read the letter.
Mm-hmm. That's, from these people you've never seen
we've
before.
Never seen, yeah. mm-hmm. but the church made sure that they twin with us, and they've known my mom when my mom was still a professional nurse mm-hmm. in Kagiso at Kliniki, and then mm-hmm. a daycare center where, again, that daycare center was our home. When mm-hmm. it's after work, some of the kids would be taken home. So it's that also that exposed me. I saw the exploitation of women through my mother, the rights of women, including our home permit. My brother was the one on top of the permit, which now it's Oliver Mkize.
Basically the permit holder on behalf of, even though he was younger.
He's old. It's not his house. It's my mother's house.
Yeah, yeah.
But the law actually insisted that mm. the eldest son must be mm. the permit holder. Mm. So it's those things that exposed me to just standing for justice, social justice. Hence, I'm saying at that time, it had nothing to do with politics. And at school, then, that's when I got exposed to the student politics, mm-hmm. Starting with young Christian students, working together with the young Christian workers, Uhuru's brothers, mm-hmm. Uhuru Miluad, may his soul rest in peace. That those are the people I came to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And moving from there, I also worked at OK Bazaars, and my mother said, "Bengitumele skolweni," and the next thing we were chased away from school, mm-hmm. from university, and we had to come back home. And my mother said, "Hambofunum sebenzi."
Yeah, you can't just hang around
yes.
here lazy.
And
yeah.
We went and we found employment at OK Bazaars.
Mm. And that's where you started
as a trade unionist.
And your activism, you know?
No, I was already a student yeah. activist
yeah, yeah,
then.
Yeah.
I meant as a unionist,
yeah,
yes.
Activist,
and
yeah.
by the time I went to OK Bazaars, I had also been a publicity mm. secretary
yeah.
of the Kruger's of Residents organization.
Mm. Mm.
And people used to tease me to say, but you stayed in your parents' home. But,
yeah.
but because of how we grow up in the community, we knew people's issues mm-hmm. and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I got exposed to Kausa. I was a shop steward. I then belonged to the National Shop Steward Council and served in the national, in the central committee led by Umamu Emma Mashinini.
Mm-hmm. You worked with Umamu Emma.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
very
yes,
fortunate.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes. Her trials and tribulation mm-hmm. of strikes and banning orders, we were there with her. And we were the union that fought for maternity rights of women, paid maternity mm-hmm. rights. We had the longest strike that fought on this, and mm-hmm. People didn't understand. This exposed me to Ray Alexander, who was in exile, where then they had to conscientize us about staying strong to this issue mm-hmm. because the struggles of women are struggles mm-hmm. of a nation.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how you know, you're mentioning maternity rights. You know, it just shows how far we have come,
yes,
you know, as a society.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people will not understand that women did not
yes,
have maternity rights.
Yeah,
you know?
And a paid maternity mm, right.
Yeah.
And then we had to even go to detention for that.
Mm.
And the threat was an act of terrorism. Just to mm-hmm. say a woman must be paid, a woman must be given the right to be on maternity leave. And in that process, then that's when we got exposed to SACTU
mm-hmm.
out of the country.
Mm-hmm. And SACTU was in part of the alliance with the ANC.
Yes, SACTU mm-hmm. was part of the alliance in the ANC. So comrades like myself, Fabosis et Namulewa, may his mm-hmm. soul rest in peace as well, we got exposed because then SACTU had to bring politics to the strike. Yeah. And we understood. And we increased the trade union movement platform in footprint in the West Rand, the General and Allied Workers Union, led by Samson Ndou, Abo Sydney Mofamadi. And that's where I also came across Serge Mokonyane, who then became my husband. And may his soul also rest in peace.
I'd like us to fast forward a bit, because I want to get to Nomvula Mokonyane, the ANC activist.
Oh, yes. I've said a bit. I got exposed when we went on strike in Sakau. And then there were unity talks towards the founding of COSATU. And there was a lot of consultation, both at home and out of the country. And the issue was about the union adopting the Freedom Charter. And we had to work hard on it. Having come from...
Why did you have to work hard? Was it not like obvious to everyone in the room that, Freedom Charter is a good idea?
It was democratic. Remember, not everybody knew that we all are operating on behalf of the ANC. So you have to take others on board. There was also a strong presence that time, if you remember, of the Black Consciousness Movement. So you also had to be very accommodative and allow. I mean, NUM was the last. So we had to be trained even on negotiating on these matters and making people understand the Freedom Charter. It was not just about reciting it. It's about it was about what it envisages for the future. So those are the elements that exposed me to the African National Congress without having to fill in a form. But the contacts that were made, the facilitations that were done, and so on and so forth.
People say that it is easier today to join the ANC than it was then, or to become a member and to be part of the organization than it was in the past. What were your experiences?
It was too risky. It was too risky because it's in the course of you dealing with community issues, dealing with the rights of students. Today we've got SGBs. The founding of COSAS, of course, the brains behind was the African National Congress. But our demand was to have parents, teachers, and students, all of them being part of the management and leadership of schools. Today we've got SGBs. And it was a struggle for students to be part of the running of a school, to be listened to, and so forth. School boards were appointed. Today we've got SGBs that are appointed by the schooling community. So it was like that. Our ending up knowing that we are ANC people had to do with being politicized. And being recruited, being politicized, being made to understand, here is your purpose, here's your mission as a Congress of South African Students. And you'll be picked up without all of you knowing that you are part of the same thing. And then now you find yourself in the community structures. You run civic activities, projects, setting up advice centers in our township because we had to create alternative centers of people's power. So we had advice centers. We ran women's projects. When one became the organizer of the Federation of Transvaal Women, an affiliate of the UDF, that time Jesse Duarte was the secretary of the Transvaal Federation of Transvaal Women. May her soul rest in peace, Masisulu, Sister Bennett. And they brought me into that, and Sis O'Hara, the only person, the two people who are remaining in it now, it's O'Hara Diseko and former minister, Comrade Susan Shabang. Our work is the one that exposed everyone to the fact that we are operatives of the ANC. So detention, when you get detained, you are questioned about your ANC membership, but they couldn't find anything. So there was more of a risk. It was not an opportunistic thing to belong to the ANC. It was a choice you make, understanding the risk that comes with it.
Without benefits whatsoever. With
nothing, nothing. Actually, your home will get bombed. You'll be in detention. Your own wedding will be disrupted. And you'll be sometimes isolated in the community because you are this young woman who's making their kids to be detained and all those things. So it's my activism in Kagiso, in Krugersdorp, and the entire West Rand that brought me closer to the African National Congress. And of course, becoming Nomvula Mokonyane, being married to an activist who was also my own political commissar and a trade unionist in his own right. We worked well together. We then were blessed with three children, and our home, our life was a life of course, two love beds, but also risks of detention, isolation, bombings, kidnappings, arrests for illegal firearms, and all those things, banishments and stuff. And the only thing that kept me going was that I never regretted what I did, because, as I've said, my own upbringing exposed me to these injustices.
I want us to fast forward
and
take ourselves to today, South Africa today now. You are a very senior person in the ANC, and your party is, after the last elections, your party is part of the GNU. How would you assess the state? What would you say is the state of the GNU today? Is it about to die? Is it going to carry on? How long can it last?
We've gone through a strategic setback. The good thing is that the ANC has gone through turbulences over years. And one of the things I've said was that I think the time when the ANC was banned, that became the most serious challenge. But it had leaders that could adapt to those conditions and keep the ANC intact until they came back from exile after the negotiations. Where we are today, it's a setback that is worse, because we're operating in a space of legality. It's a strategic setback, and the only good thing is that we had to appreciate that this organization is the organization of the people. Whether weak or strong, we must humble ourselves and make sure that we use the little that we have to bring all interested parties together. That is the GNU. It's not what we wanted. It's what came through the processes of South Africans. We learned lessons out of it.
As a result of the election.
Yes. Yeah. It's us who invited everybody into the GNU. And it was us, I remember, was at the results center as the head of elections, who went first to accept the outcomes of elections. We now have this GNU. It's an amoeba. It doesn't have a shape. And it having no shape, we are now forced to become adults in the room. Because it's a coming together of people historically never actually identified on anything about the future of this country. And hence, there had to be a statement of intent that then says this is what brings us together. And having had that, then there had to be the four priorities that Comrade President had to present in Parliament as the priorities of the government of national unity. We have people in the government of national unity who have a mission. And the mission is not about transformation. It's not about equality. It's not about fighting for a non-racial society.
You mean non-ANC people?
Yes, in the GNU.
Yes.
And we have to also manage those characters who, part of their mission, they have publicly said, is to bury the African National Congress. They said it. They were there when they...
Are you talking about the DA?
Yes, the Democratic Alliance. They said, amongst other things, they were there when the National Party collapsed. And this time, Zille said she wants to see the ANC being buried. But because we're not dealing with her alone as a person, we have an organization. It is their organization that has committed itself to remain in the government of national unity. However, it does need to be managed properly. It does also have to be dealt with in instances where it doesn't get measured on how it conducts itself outside of what is in the statement of intent, such as around the foreign policy, such as trying to undermine the the role of the president in the country, the constitution, foreign policy. They're trying and are pushing that they deal with those issues, how they want to play a dual role of an opposition and the party in government. It is those things that the ANC is hard at work trying to resolve, because this misbehavior also creates problems within our own constituents. Ukuthi sizijwayeza ngabelungu. I'm just saying it the township way. You know, nisijwayeza ngabelungu, nishiya abantu abamnyama ngaphandle. Who are abantu abamnyama? It's MKP and EFF. Oh,
okay, yeah.
And we have to patiently explain to people that, in fact, even as we speak today, we would want as the ANC to work with everybody and anybody into the GNU. But the challenge is that there are those who are putting conditions that cannot actually be met. How do you say, I want to be part of this GNU, but remove your president? I want to be part of the GNU on condition you drop this case or you do that thing. And things that have to do with our own internal issues.
So who would have said the president must be removed? Is it the DA or the someone else?
It's those that are outside of the GNU.
Okay.
Those that are outside of the GNU. As I've said, there's been a lot of talk that how can we be comfortable to work with those who were part of the architecture of apartheid, or again, because of realities of racism in our country, people see the DA as a white party and a party of the privileged. And seeing how it exploits its own black leaders, people just see them doing it with the ANC, starting with undermining our own president. So you have that. You also have the EFF that we have met, I don't know how many times. We have met with MKP, I can't count how many times. And all of them have had different demands and different delegations that they bring before us.
In order for them to be part of the GNU.
Yes, they put as conditions for the GNU. Even amongst us, I think we have also, as the ANC, failed to manage the GNU better. Because we have not institutionalized processes of dealing with issues of the GNU. We assumed that everybody understands that they serve at the behest of the president, that when you are a cabinet minister and having been sworn in, you'd owe allegiance to the collective that is called the cabinet or the executive of the Republic of South Africa. But you can see today they jump and tomorrow they'll put themselves as the DA minister when there's no such a thing by law. Once you are sworn in, you are a South African minister. So it's those things that I think as the ANC we also have to deal with.
Okay.
It shouldn't be a permanent thing that we should be so preoccupied with it. What we must be preoccupied with is the renewal of the ANC.
We'll come to the renewal. So I asked you, how long do you think that the GNU will survive? Will it survive until the next national election? Do you think does it have a chance to do that?
The GNU will survive as long as there's cooperation and collaboration amongst parties. And the most irresponsible party is the Democratic Alliance. They misbehave. Remember, they were going to oppose the budget. They had to be reminded by those that support them from outside to say, "Ayenziwa lento." And I think the GNU will survive as long as the reality is that the GNU is not the GNU based on the ANC and the DA. It's a GNU of many parties.
Okay.
The last NEC of the ANC resolved that there must be a reset.
So if the DA, because there's a narrative that says that the GNU and the ANC need the DA to be there. If the DA were to leave tomorrow, what would happen?
Well, we'll have to go back to the drawing board, but I don't think that the GNU will collapse. And I don't think they have any intention, both subjectively and objectively. They have a constituency in the system of South Africa that wants this stability Two, they've got their own personal interests. I'm sure you have seen how Steenhuisen was excited being alongside Xi Jinping in China. Those blue lights and stuff. They have they are hard pressed to contest with the Freedom Front Plus for the constituents. So I don't belong to the DA, but I do believe that they find it difficult to take a decision. We're told in some of these other meetings where they said they were going to discuss and resolve to walk away, they had to subject themselves to a vote. We have never voted on anything. So they are the ones who have a problem because they are not consistent. They are not acting in accordance with the statement of intent. And as I've said, there are many other parties. There are also those parties that worked with us going into the budget. So we are busy now engaging with everybody, including with the DA, because the DA is not the ANC. The GNU is not the DA. It is not DA dependent. It is dependent on the collaboration of parties that are represented in the National Assembly.
At a personal level, do you interact at all, or you and your comrades, do you interact at all with individual leaders in the DA, maybe like to offline with them? Or is there like a Chinese wall, if you like, you know, between the parties? Or is there a place where you are able to pick up a phone and say, hey, Helen, maybe let's have coffee about this thing?
Oh, well.
What are the relationships like?
I have no relationship with them. I think it's me. I have serious issues on the DA. But in the interest of South Africa, I've embraced the fact that they are a role player in the current situation. So having coffee with Helen will be going too far. We can have coffee in a meeting. Yeah, I wouldn't, because we're all political animals. And these are people who sometime they can actually set you up, and you may actually be seen not to be loyal to your own constituencies and stuff. So I don't know about other leaders of the ANC. I've got many people. I can have tea with the EFF.
Yeah, yeah. Any day.
Any day, anytime. I can have coffee with the IFP. I can have coffee with the Patriotic Alliance.
And Freedom Front Plus?
That's my constituency in Krugersdorp. I always say to people, I found Afrikaners to be, most of them, yes, to be much more honest and open. If they hate you, they hate you.
And that's it.
And that's it. If they come to understand you, they understand you. And I think with the same with us, their options are very limited, just like me and them. They can't go back anywhere.
They can't leave the country.
Yeah, basically. Where else will they go? And we're relating with generations that know nothing else except South Africa. Leave aside your solidarity and the right-wingers who are opening up South Africa for the right-wing politics globally. But I even watch rugby with them. I don't know rugby. Afrikaners. Yeah, I'm a Krugersdorp girl. So
yeah. But you've got nothing against rugby, basically.
I don't even know rugby, but I joined them. And now that my grandson plays rugby, I follow. When they scream, I scream. When they when they eat their steak and Kleppies and Coke, I drink my whiskey and we are fine.
And you're good.
Yes, and they're my neighbor. I'm a widow now. I live amongst them. It's them who come and knock and say, we haven't seen you. We don't see you this time. And when they go to Fort Trekker, we walk there to go and remember Terre Blanche, then we swear at each other. Then we come back together again. It's so different. It's a different breed. And they will tell you also why they are so uncomfortable with the DA. But they are comfortable with the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. In fact, when you sit with them, they will tell you the PAC is the Freedom Front of you black people.
Yeah.
Tina, We are the PAC of white people.
Yeah, so it evens out.
They're nice to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, many of them frown upon what has happened with the trips to the United States.
Yeah, to talk to Donald Trump and his
And they
his
think
people.
These were planted ideas.
Mm.
They're not genuine ideas.
Yeah, yeah. But Snuvile, I would like us to talk about another thing, the national dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, some people have asked, you know, to say, if you have got the ANC, which is supposed to be representing a large portion of the population, and it is in government, and we have a government of national unity, why do we need to have a national dialogue? Shouldn't the people who are elected be the ones, you know, who drive that? You know, they go to parliament all the time. Shouldn't these dialogues be happening anyway, you know, in the current existing structures? Do you think there could have been a disconnect somewhere? Because now even the president was saying it must be citizen-led. He's not saying it must be leader-led, if you see what I mean, that the ANC must not lead it.
Yeah.
Why? How does that occur?
Look, I think the issue of the dialogue found a very toxic environment. It landed in a toxic environment. But it is something that is inherent in our culture. Imbizo, Khotla, and so on. As well as what we saw as the move towards the adoption of the Freedom Charter, and what the Freedom Charter, including the preamble of the Constitution, the people shall govern, the will of the people. That in a situation where now political parties' representation is proven to be far lesser than the mandate that every party should enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to people and talk about these 30 years of democracy, talk about how we want to see the country moving forward, and let's hear them. Is it proper that we're saying the people shall govern? Are people governing? Is it proper that issues are not being attended? How can we deal with them properly? So the ANC has taken a conscious decision that we must never lay claim of being the leader of society. We must end. We must end that. And the 40%...
But it has called itself that.
No, we have not called ourselves that. We have earned that.
Mm-hmm.
We have earned that that status of being leader of society. Even with this, I think it's humility.
Mm-hmm.
For a party that has earned a status of being a leader of society, we've been characterized as leader of society because we have led South African struggles.
Mm-hmm.
We have championed the decisions that suit the people of South Africa. If those decisions and the struggles we have waged together have not yielded the results that satisfy our people, let's go and talk to the people and hear what has actually happened. And at no point must the ANC assume that the name ANC is synonymous to leader of society. No, you must earn it. You must earn it. And it is our history of having been with the people of South Africa over years that we also claim we're not claiming we've earned being the oldest liberation movement in the continent here in South Africa. And therefore, that must never be taken as something that is an entitlement. And it takes humility and courage for a party to actually do exactly that.
So your role in the national dialogue is what? Is it just to listen, or is it what? How,
as the ANC,
as a political party,
we are participants because parties have also been invited. Mm. We are participants. We are even preparing our own members to participate in those community dialogues that have been spoken about. Just last week, we had a workshop of our sectoral task team that reports to me, where we looked at preparing our structures, making sure that we internalize what the issues should be and how the ANC should also respond and even support some of the concerns that South Africans are raising. We can't shut our eyes around the issues of immigration. We can't shut our eyes around issues of corruption. We can't shut our eyes around issues of access to our public services and so forth. And we can't shut our eyes on the issues of accountability of public representatives. You can't have a ward councillor that wakes up and not know that there's going to be a protest in Coronation Park, in Ebony Park, in Emdeni, in Naledi, in Soweto. So it's those things that the ANC says, maybe let's take 3 steps back and see ebantwini. It's in our culture, we have done it, and we must even help the younger generation that leads the ANC to understand that the ANC is not the ANC of its members, it's the ANC of the people of South Africa. But if the support diminishes, then it means we are gradually shifting away from being the ANC of the people, but the ANC that is there for self-fulfillment.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about, you know, like in the next few months, give or take, we'll be going to the elections, the local elections. How would you rate the ANC's chances to in those elections? I mean, is there any research that the ANC does to see what's going on, or just in talking to people on the ground? You know, what sense are you getting?
Look, we've had polls that the ANC has looked at, and we take those polls quite seriously. But it also calls on us to be also appreciating that there are polls that are also influenced by our opponents, sponsored and stuff. And there are polls that are very genuine. We've actually put our own research and stuff. We've gone out to our people. If you can look at it, the cause for renewal is ongoing. The last by-elections that we have had since 2024, the ANC has won even the wards that we have lost in the general elections, both in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng, as well as in many other provinces. So that is a measure of us turning around, because we believe that majority of South Africans didn't come out and vote. And some didn't come out and vote the ANC, they stayed at home. And assessment is that they stayed at home because they didn't have a choice. And they felt, let's punish these ones that we belong to. We've gone back. Our approach is service delivery orientated. It's about accountability of public representatives. This coming Monday, we will be having an assembly of all ANC councillors being addressed by the president. We've had a workshop yesterday. We're meeting again today. Over the coming 2 days, over the weekend, we're looking at how we deal with issues of service delivery, accountability, and reconnecting with our communities. We have also infused the issue about political education. Because if we all are not educated about what the ANC is for in this country, people then assume that this ANC is about us, members of the African National Congress. There's hope.
What chances would you give the ANC? You know, do you think the ANC...
We will go beyond 50%. We will go beyond 50%. We have looked at the processes of selecting our ward councillors. As I've said, we have looked at turning around the issues. I'm sure you can see what's working now in Etegwini and so forth. And and research has said, attend to these 5 things. Then you will see a shift.
You've seen a turnaround.
Yes. And you know the turnaround takes time. We know that a voter makes a determination 12 months before the elections. And hence we had to go in Etegwini, come into Gauteng, and reconfigure even our structures, put together processes. Etegwini's municipality is changing. Yes, we have serious challenges in Johannesburg. We're dealing with them. We must instill discipline on issues that are happening in the various other regions of the African
Nation. So would it be correct to say that you are concerned about what might happen in the elections, you do all the things that you're talking about?
These actions that we're doing is a clear demonstration. Because we can't continue doing what we have done before. It hasn't worked. We're now focusing on doing things differently, even on how you canvass a voter. that you can't fill just the stadium and be satisfied. You must also remain in contact, service a particular number of homes, remain locked in that constituency, and let the community know those that represent and service them on behalf of the African National Congress. We unfortunately, for all my issues, I'm also I'm heading the elections of the ANC, and we can't reveal the entire strategy.
Yeah. Okay.
Because other people don't develop strategies. Yeah. They just take what we do and they work with us.
That's how
MKP did in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng.
And you think that you might get to 50% again?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I believe because we have started to do things differently. Mm. Not for the media, not for publicity, but being on the ground amongst the people, attending to the issues. Mm. We're worried about the issues of protests that are on the rise. We're worried about the masses rising without our leaders being there to intervene. It's a cause of concern. This morning, we're dealing with it, and hence, on Saturday, Sunday, the NEC will reflect on that. We've got answers to that. Then on Monday, there will be also marching orders, as well as telling the hard truth to each and every municipality, led by their provincial leaders, their regional leaders, their mayors, and their everyone, naming and shaming each one.
Here's another element of the election going forward. The SACP's decision, I'm sure you guys talk about it all the time, their decision to fight the coming elections alone, not as part of the alliance. Yeah. What do you think is going to be the impact of that?
What is the
implications?
What is of concern to many of us, and we don't take this thing lightly, is that parties that emerge from the ANC, and they don't become offsprings of the ANC, they become opponents of the ANC. And for a vanguard party like the South African Communist Party, we do believe that they have every right to take decisions that are suitable for their constituency and how they see the future. But we believe that there's a misstep, because the party is in alliance with the ANC to fight for a non-racial, non-sexist, united and prosperous South Africa. We've not reached that stage. In our language, I will talk about the National Democratic Society. So we've not reached that stage, because socialism is an advance of building a national democratic society. But the party now says it also wants to take responsibility of this. So it's defining itself.
Sorry, of the national
democratic revolution that we want to deal with these issues. We don't want the ANC to lead this struggle.
So they say they are not being listened to. They say the ANC is not listening.
Which is not correct. I'm also a member of the Communist Party. I pay my levies to the party.
Okay.
I was in the Central Committee. I was chased away when I was sick in hospital, brought a dismissal letter. So Mandasha is not the first culprit. But I remained loyal to the party. They've been listened to. Of course, key amongst issues that you must appreciate is that the ANC, we even said to them, If your love for us is over, let's use my affection to you. Maybe you'll come back. And we still believe that we must persuade the party. But the party keeps telling us it's a decision of the highest making
decision
body, the special Congress. The party said it will contest the 2026 elections. The party is already contesting by elections. They contested in Polokwane. They contested in Vitakgong. And it is worrying us as the ANC. We have been encouraged to never give up. But from where I, Nomvula, is seated, the party is gone. Worse with the things that have been said that are also not true. unless they can be substantiated.
Gone like how? When you're saying
the party said it was going to contest 2026.
Oh, you mean that is irreversible?
Yeah, yeah. From where I'm seated. Hmm. And what is now outstanding is how then do we manage this relationship?
Hmm. Will it weaken the ANC, do you think, in the campaigning?
It will. It will weaken the ANC unless the ANC goes out and even persuade its members in the party, like me. I'm persuaded. Hmm. It's a wrong decision. Hmm. Many other leaders of the party believe it is a wrong decision. Hmm. But if the leadership of the party continues to field members now, not even 2026. Mm-hmm. Now, what does it mean? We can't strategize together because now we're contesting in the same space for the same votes. And I really think it's that is also misread because there's an assumption that if the party gets 1%, they can club the 1% with the ANC. With local government, it's even worse because we've seen just now the party got less than 20 votes in one of the wards and all those things. It's a waste of those votes compared to those votes being with us because the weight of it becomes different. And they actually distort even what happened in Limpopo in one of the by elections, that if they had participated, they would have had a seat. It's not as easy as that. Mm. I do hope that the leadership of the party will reflect on this matter. We have resolved that we also need an alliance summit to come and discuss these issues. Now, not through bilaterals, but with SANCO, with COSATU, with the South African Communist Party and ourselves.
With all the components of the alliance present. I want us to rush a bit before we run out of time. You mentioned the renewal program of the ANC. How would you rate it? Is it at 10%, 50%, 90%?
That's now, mechanical.
Where is it? It's talking about a lot, but it's. I just want us to get a sense of where
it has moved from the platform. Mm-hmm. The train has moved from the platform. Mm. I would say it's in motion. Mm-hmm. Why am I saying it is in motion? It is in motion because these things that I'm raising about accountability, calling counselors, making everybody to account, having a war room on service delivery, making sure that we interact with sectors, not on the eve of elections, but now a year or so away from elections. It's part of renewal. Having foundational political education programs, it's part of that renewal. So all I can say, it's in motion. Yes, it sometimes faces hurdles because the culture of the organization is also foreign to others. The way that
members,
yes, the need to be rooted amongst the people, it's foreign to others. You have many of our members who don't belong anywhere except in the ANC, and that is what weakens the movement. You have leaders of the NEC of the ANC who don't belong to anything except to the ANC. You can't lead society and say it's the ANC of the people, and all you do is to assume because you walk into the NEC of the ANC that this is how people feel unless you sit with them in a boardroom. You must live amongst them. You must be amongst them. You must belong where they are. Society is organized in different forms. And if you ask me what is the risk, is us having leadership that is not rooted amongst the people. Mm.
You've been in the women's struggles, you know, while you are in the ANC, but you've also been, you know, very active in the women's struggles for advancement and emancipation. UN FETRO and you know, Women's League, etc.
And I'm still in the league.
And you're still in the league. Now, I wanted to ask you: is the ANC ready to have a female president?
Yes. Yes.
Why do you say that? From what we're reading and seeing, it's the people who are campaigning and talking. I think the only person that I saw talking about leadership was Dr. Kwendra Makgopa recently, basically being critical of the fact that, you know, women in the ANC have not supported each other. Do you agree with that view?
She said that.
Yes.
Do you agree? Okay. Do you have a... No, I think the nature of the African National, the ANC is a very conservative organization. And this thing called patriarchy works stronger when women are used against one another.
Mm-hmm.
And also being used opportunistically, the issue of women leadership by women who are not committed to the emancipation of women. They will sneak in mm-hmm. because they are the right tool to be used by men against others.
Mm-hmm.
That's our problem. But organizationally, when you look at membership and everything, it is us women who work tirelessly for this movement, both as as volunteers, both as members. The biggest membership of the ANC is found amongst women, young and old. The processes of the ANC themselves are the ones that create a problem, some challenges when women emerge
mm-hmm.
Or women have to emerge. The reason why I believe that it is possible, I'm a generation that was in the first national conference of the ANC, where we walked in there, being part of the ANC, but upon arriving at the conference of the African National Congress, having advocated amongst ourselves and lobbied each other, mm-hmm. women stood united and we left that conference with a 30% representation of women.
Mm-hmm.
Tera Likota was the chair of that conference. It took Madiba to now ask conference to listen to women. Abo Sislindwe Mabuza, Abo Sis Barbara Masikela, Abo Mamu Adelaide Tambo, and many others. If we have been able to realize those goals, why must it be difficult to have a woman president?
Mm.
And I think we've reached a stage where it must no longer be an issue of a woman president, is to say women are eligible.
Mm-hmm.
They are eligible, even if there can be seven of them. We've had the ANC being led by six men or five men and one woman. I'm a proponent of women taking over the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are alone, make your voice known. Don't be a drum majorette.
Mm-hmm.
And don't see the problem when it is your opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Remain consistent on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those that are saying, when the right opportunity comes, we as ANC women must embrace one another, even if it is against those that assume, because it's an act of assumption.
Yeah.
Mm. And there's never been a moment where women are not ready. Women took up arms in Umkhonto weSizwe. Women, Albertina Sisulu, looked after the UDF here at home. Sister Barnard and many others. Women died. Abo Pili died for this organization. So why must somebody be saying, why are women ready? Is the ANC is very conservative. I'm part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very conservative. Women.
When is it going to be unconservative?
It's a reflection of our society.
Mm. Mm.
Every time when it has to be about a woman, you know, there must be some justification. Mm. We must actually nudge everybody.
Mm.
But when it is men, whether the man knows the East from the West, it's immaterial.
Mm. And more directly, would you stand for president of the ANC?
If the ANC structures are calling for anyone to stand and that person is eligible in line with the ANC constitution, why must you stop that person?
Mm. But you would stand.
I would stand if the processes of the ANC...
If your name is put forward.
Yes. Mm. And I think even if there can be six women contesting for the president, nothing stops that.
Mm-hmm.
Men have contested Meboto.
Do you still do charity work?
I do a lot of charity work. I was doing charity work just 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What kind?
I work with community-based organizations, distribution of food to destitute families, support and counseling of young women, leaders and members of the ANC. I do a lot of coaching for them. I do charity work in terms of assisting with regard to burial and support to vulnerable and indigent families in our township. We also do a lot in terms of assisting our young people in the township who are victims of substance abuse. We have a massive problem in Kagiso about drugs. I work through my sodality, the St. Anne's Catholic Women's Sodality, to support abogogo basesontweni. I communicate and work with many other people outside just of the West Rand and Kagiso. And if you ask me, this is where I find a lot of fulfillment.
Just one before we wrap up. Recently, you had things to say about the former president of the ANC, who now leads MKP. Do you talk to him at all?
No. The last time I spoke to the president of the Zuma Party, MKP, was the day when he came to Soweto to launch MKP.
You spoke to him?
Yes.
And said what to him? Don't do this.
No, I said, Baba, what's going to happen? And he said, ngizokuthinta, Tomkhulu, and he never came back to me. When we were negotiating, before even going into the negotiations, myself and the SG were assigned to go and talk to him. We tried every corner. And we even had Mdumiseni Ntuli going to his place. He waited there for almost 7 hours and he was met for 40 minutes. And he never spoke to me. He's never returned our calls. When we're discussing the processes of consultation on the GNU, we called him and he never came back to us. Instead, I was told that he's sending people. The people were working with him then told us that, no, he's sending people to come and meet with you and stuff. Yeah, it's the worst of what I will remember in the history of the ANC. A former president of the ANC doing what he has done.
So he could never come back to the ANC? Prospects of him coming back?
He'll join as a member.
Is he still a member? Because
no, he's no longer a member. There's a constitutional clause in the ANC. Dual membership is only of the South African Communist Party and the ANC.
And no one else?
No other party. And remember what they've done to Floyd. I was asking myself, why does he become so hard? Remember, Baba is the alpha and omega that side. Yes, but he says Yana is a member, but he says Floyd can't be a member. So, yeah, but I have nothing to speak and explain about MKP, but
Way back, you would have been among the people who supported him. 2007.
You know what?
2007.
You know what? I supported every president. Yeah. It's just that the tensions in the movement exposed my support to President Zuma. The reason why I was chased by Blade Nzimande from the South African Communist Party were led here by Mbazi Mashilowa in Gauteng. And we were told that we're defending the 1996 class project. And it's because we're defending the president. Here is one of the things I'm consistent about. I will defend any president, any leader elected democratically. And I will work hard under his leadership. But what I can't stand is when the person betrays what has made me to know him from the ANC. It's him who said to us, even if you can hate somebody, don't actually hate the ANC. It's him who said to us, there may be problems in the movement, but never abandon the African National Congress. So whatever his problems, he's the last to have done what he did. Because I see that as an act of betrayal.
Of the organization.
Of the organization and those who supported him. On a principle that he's a president. Why don't you let that person to lead? The organizational processes will be the ones that deal with that person, not you. And when you go and campaign, you become a tribalist and you're saying, no, there's an ANC of Ramaphosa. You don't do that. It's him who actually told people that don't even say ANC Agazuma, ANC Abolthuli. Those are the things that disappointed me. Those are the things that hurt me because they came through his mouth. And it was what he was preaching throughout. And he does a 360 degrees. Where's he betrays people that stood with him, like the people of Western Sahara. The people of Western Sahara have been disenfranchised. He was in the ANC when we were waging the struggle for our own freedom and self-determination. And he goes to Morocco, having addressed the AU and the UN and everything about the conditions of the people of Western Sahara. He does and he says what he has said. You ask yourself, was this person genuine?
Ms. Noble, let us thank you for joining us on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly. We really appreciate your time. Thanks for agreeing to spend time with us.
Thank you very much.
It was traverse an honor. All these different topics.
Thank you.
I'm sure that a lot of people would have wanted to ask you know, but they can't reach you. You know? They don't have the privilege.
I'm easily accessible.
They don't have the privilege. Yeah.
They must wait for me in Kaki so they'll find me.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Well, that's why we wrap it up on the Politics Weekly for this week. My name is Mike Siluma. Until next week, stay blessed, stay safe, and let's do good for our country.